drawing room over here.
Oh, hey, come on in. HIV and AIDS devastated a generation of gay men in Australia and remains a direct and immediate threat in the minds of many of us who lived through those times. If you're old enough, you'll remember the very effective ad campaign featuring the Grim Reaper. But the reality of HIV has changed for most people, at least in relatively privileged countries like Australia, where treatment has made a massive difference in both the health of those living with the virus and the rates of transmission. A new campaign, You Equals You, is seeking to educate the public about what living with HIV means now. Nick Hollis is the founder of the Institute of Many. Bruce Richmond is the founder of You Equals You and the Prevention Access Campaign. And Davey Thompson is one of the people speaking out about his story in a new series of videos released by the Institute of Many. They're my guests in the drawing room. Welcome to the three of you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Okay.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So U equals U stands for undetectable equals untransmittable. What does it mean? What are the implications, Bruce?
Yeah, well, undetectable equals untransmittable means that a person living with HIV who is on treatment, which is called antiretroviral therapy, and stays on treatment, gets to a level where the virus is suppressed so low that it's undetectable. It's not measured by tests. And that means that person is not only going to be healthy and live a healthy, long life, it also means they cannot transmit HIV to other people. So that's revolutionary.
Is untransmissible accurate? Many experts tend to use phrasing like minimal risk or low risk.
Absolutely. It's accurate. It's been verified by the United States Center for Disease Control, the National Institutes of Health in the United States, UNAIDS, the International AIDS Society. So actually over 575 leading organizations around the world from actually 71 countries have verified that it is true. It's not just a greatly reduced risk. It's not a minimal risk. There is zero risk.
On to You Equals You itself. What's the story behind the campaign, Nick?
Well, You Equals You is a impressively fastly growing global movement that Bruce has created, and it's coming off the back of decades of research around having an undetectable viral load. It's something that we've actually known about in the community for many years. You know, these changes occurred at a scientific level 20 years ago in 1996 when HIV treatment changed, and people went from, you know, HIV equaling AIDS to HIV equaling living with HIV. And then in 2008, the Swiss statement came out, which showed that people living with HIV could not transmit the virus. And it's just taken a couple of years for people to really come around to the idea, because we're really talking about letting go of decades of, you know, fear and trauma and stigma around HIV.
How much fear and trauma and stigma is there? I'll ask you, Davey, on a real personal level, do you feel like it's still there?
There definitely is, and that's what really gravitated me towards this campaign. They really sold it to, well, Nick sold it to me in this gorgeous way of it being fun and carefree and sexy and really spreading a really happy, positive message. The AIDS epidemic really did wipe out an entire generation of gay men, and you can actually see that in our society. There's an entire pocket of people who are missing, and within our community we are missing those leaders. We are missing these beautiful role models. So I'm really quite proud to be part of it, because I'm helping spread this really gorgeous, important information that people really should be knowing.
So, Davey, you're one of the people in these videos, as I said in the intro. What's your story?
Personally, I'm HIV negative, but, you know, I'm going to sound really cliche, but I've got lots of HIV positive friends.
Some of my best friends are HIV positive.
It's such a cliche thing, but, you know, I grew up in outback Queensland, you know. I was very, very isolated. So I come from a background where there weren't many queer people as it was. So I was born in 92, which was, I don't know, that was the aftermath really. It's just a nothing but an empty, empty field. And so HIV and being gay were just treated as this awful, gross illness. And I felt that awful, gross internal conflict within me for so long. I moved to the city and met people with HIV without even knowing it. And then I went, oh, wow, actually, oh, okay, great. This is fine. This is cool. So that's really what yeah, I needed to jump on and really help spread this message, because people with HIV are no different to people without HIV. You know, they're still people who deserve to love and be respected and live the fullest life that every single one of us do.
Bruce, normally when there's a breakthrough like this, you'd expect a lot of excited front page stories. Maybe I miss them. I mean, I'm a journalist, but I feel like coverage about this hasn't been that overwhelming. Am I right?
Well, yeah, to some degree, you are correct. I mean, in the United States, this was on the Washington Post and CBS Evening News, and even sourced in the New York Times, and it was covered in the world's number two medical journal called The Lancet. They don't usually do stories on campaigns or nonprofits, but they covered this story in an editorial. But what we're seeing is that it's still so new for many people, and our campaign has never had a publicist, and it's very grassroots. So folks like Nick and his team from Tim in Australia, groups in Vietnam and Armenia and Uganda and France, all over the world in 71 countries, are sort of rising up to get this message out. But the reason why it's not there is twofold. Is one, it's just that this campaign has been very much driven by grassroots, and then also it's still very new. So pioneering journalists like yourself are finding it and covering it, and we really appreciate it. And hopefully it will get more mainstream as people feel more comfortable with the message.
Bruce, looking at your own story, you found out that you were untransmissible back in, what, 2012?
Yep,
but you found out that the doctors were only telling some people about that. Tell me that story.
Oh, that's a tough story. Yeah, I found out in 2012 and looked online and contacted research organizations and clinics and started finding out that, yeah, people like me were being told, you know, white, gay, cisgender, male with stable health insurance and a job, and people that were already being marginalized by the healthcare systems were being left out. They weren't being told because folks felt that they might be irresponsible with this information. So we came from a point of starting this campaign where everyone living with HIV, all people, deserve to know about their sexual, social, and reproductive health. It's information about our bodies that all of us need to know. And we're seeing that shift now. We're seeing the medical establishment come around and realize how important this is, not only for people living with HIV, but also for every aspect of the field.
Nick, is there a similar story in Australia, or has our health system been a bit more egalitarian?
Look, we do have a different situation here in Australia. We've got a very proud history of bipartisan support for HIV across the political divide, and it's one we can be really proud of. We're seeing some phenomenal shifts and changes, slowly but surely in some corners, but really radically fast in others. And it's important here to acknowledge that U equals U is kind of like a functional cure for HIV, and PrEP, which people may have heard about, it's just been added to the PBS, is kind of like a functional vaccine. These things are functional, not actual. And when you talk, Patricia, about the lack of a front page news, it's because we don't, you know, if there was an actual cure, that would make the front page of the news. But slowly but surely in some corners and radically fast in others, we just got the statistics from New South Wales that showed that there's been a 43% reduction in new HIV rates amongst Australian-born gay and bisexual men, which is an extraordinary achievement in no small part thanks to PrEP and U equals U. But we're not seeing those same changes and reductions in overseas-born gay and bisexual men, First Nations, people in rural and remote communities, and heterosexual people affected by HIV. So there's still a lot of work to do.
On RN, I'm Patricia Carvelis. Davey Thompson, Bruce Richmond and Nick Hollis are my guests in the drawing room, and we're talking about HIV and the U equals U campaign. Bruce, what was the psychological impact for you finding out that you had an untransmittable viral load? I imagine that must have made a change in your life.
It was incredible for me. It was a new lease on life. I had been single for 9 years and hadn't wanted to date anyone or get close to anyone because I was afraid of infecting them. And so when I learned this, it just blew me away. I'd opened up opportunities for love in my life, for relationships, for sex without fear, for conceiving children without fear of transmission or alternative costly means of insemination. All these doors opened up for me, and that's why I really wanted to share this information with others. I couldn't believe it was not getting out in a big way.
Davey, you talked before about all the men that are missing from the gay community because of HIV/AIDS. Mm-hmm. What have the implications of those missing people been?
I guess, yeah, there just doesn't seem to be enough really role models out there. There seems sort of like unguided teenagers in a way, you know, who really just need some parents to tell, just to guide them through what some of the troubles in life, really. If you don't see yourself reflected in that little bit later in life, you sort of get really frantic about what could come. So I can see, you know, I'm part of that generation, really. A lot of men my age are very fearful and misguided, especially around sex. So that, yeah, I really am passionate about spreading this message.
And we talked a little bit before about how Australia has got, you know, first world health system. We've got this bipartisan approach to HIV, but then, you know, subgroups which still have issues around some of this were mentioned, including the Indigenous community. Mm-hmm. You talked about where you grew up.
Yeah.
And being queer, being gay in that kind of environment in Queensland, but you also were in a cultural minority as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
Does that make it even more complex?
Yeah, I feel. Definitely, I agree. The Aboriginal community in Australia, we have very different, I guess, messages when it comes to sexual health. When you go through our community health organisations, we have a different way of marketing, and quite often there aren't a lot of queer people involved in that conversation. And so that's where I really felt left out a lot of the time, just not seeing myself reflected on that level. So it was really cool just to be able to put my face to this really wonderful message, because hopefully we can help bridge that gap and get that message to Indigenous communities, because that's who I'm most passionate about, really. Really want to help my people.
Yeah, absolutely. Nicholas, do you feel there's been a psychological impact of HIV/AIDS on the gay community? I imagine that level of profound loss and that sort of risk leaves a legacy.
It absolutely does. It leaves a legacy and an extraordinary residue that is inherited. Studies have been done comparing the impact of Holocaust survivors and their children and the impact of HIV and AIDS on gay men, bisexual men who survived it, and the following generations. And it is absolutely a form of inherited trauma. You know, I was fortunate enough to be too young to experience the AIDS epidemic as a gay man in that community, but I was young enough to remember it as a child. And I describe coming out when I did in the late 90s and early 2000s as like coming out at a wake, because that's really what it felt like in many ways. But it was very difficult to pinpoint that. And when we talk about U equals U, and we talk around HIV, and we talk around all these great new advances like PrEP, you know, we're building a huge bridge from that time to now. And we have to expect that people within our community are going to take some time to come around to that message, let alone the people outside of our community, for whom many of them associate HIV and AIDS with gay men and associate us with that awful time of the Grim Reaper.
Mm. As HIV, really the technology, as you say, the science, all of this changes so dramatically, do you feel that there's also a need for broader sexual education? Because HIV isn't the only STI out there.
No, that's really true. And you know, I sometimes say that for many years, and especially in the gay community, HIV was the sun and all the other STIs were like the planets revolving around it. Mm. And we put so much energy into HIV because it was, of course, taking lives. And through that, there was a side effect, pardon the pun, of the other STI rates going down as well. What we're seeing now, obviously, is that things are shifting slightly as prevention technology is shifting too. But it's also really important to remember that this U equals U message is one that's talking about HIV. HIV really is the big one. And for the most part, with STIs, they are all treatable. And the other great thing about things like PrEP and U equals U is that it's putting people into regular testing patterns. And while we might see spikes in STIs going up, we're also seeing reduction in STI rates in other parts of the world because people are getting tested more regularly. And that's actually a huge part in the fight against other STIs.
Bruce, as you've been running this campaign in the US and then taking it across the world to different countries, what have you been seeing? What sort of different communities and impressions have you encountered?
Oh, we've been seeing heroes. We've been seeing incredible activism around the world. The example here in Australia is a perfect example of people living with HIV who are pushing the needle, educating their AIDS service organizations and their governments. We're seeing this in Vietnam with the Positive People's Group in Vietnam and the CDC in Hanoi, in Amsterdam and Armenia, all over the world, in Jackson, Mississippi, in the United States. So it's this phenomenal movement of people who are inspired and passionate about this information, about sharing this groundbreaking news, who are now rising up and making sure that other folks know. Because this is still, saying U equals U is still a revolutionary act. It's still a radical departure from the status quo. So the innovators, the early adopters, the agitators and the disruptors are the ones who are out there getting the message out, and we're succeeding. It's changing policy and it's changing lives around the world.
It's been a really interesting conversation. I want to thank you all for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us, Patricia.
Bruce Richmond, Nick Hollis and Davey Thompson have been my guests in the drawing room. Nick is the founder of the Institute of Many. Davey is one of the people sharing their stories for the U equals U campaign. And Bruce is the founder of U equals U and Prevention Access Campaign. And he's speaking at events across the country. Check online for details.